You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 176 of Red Wings Rant, where tirades and a passion pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Today, we'll be celebrating another... Well, I shouldn't say another. Mike, we'll talk about a statistic that makes this the best, strongest... How do I want to put this? I'll just say the strongest offensive performance that the Red Wings... team organization has put together since they've been collecting the expected goals for statistic, collecting it and reporting it and putting it in models. Now there's reasons that happen, but hey, we get to say that this was the, if we're going to trust the expected goals for model, we get to say this is the strongest offensive performance the Red Wings have had since they started collecting that data. So with that, probably more important, everybody wants to chit-chat about Lucas Raymond putting one in the back of the net. I called it, Mike. I did my preview. I'm trying to do these. I'm trying to do previews, game day, like 5 to 10 minutes. And yesterday's preview, Mike, I said, you know, let's hope that we can have a pretty strong third period. We need another great game from Greiss. We're going to get a new goal scorer is what I said. And I picked Lucas Raymond. And then I said Moritz Seider was going to play a near perfect game because of how he got dogged in that preseason game by Patrick Laine and the Blue Jackets. All of it. Of course, Mike. Coming true. All of my predictions. And the Red Wings walk away. I think that's what I should put on my resume when I'm trying to replace Jeff Blashill at the end of the year. I called one game, the predictions, and I said, Mike, what a huge leap I took to say that Lucas Raymond, who hadn't scored in two games and who has all the talent in the world, was going to score eventually. But yeah, here we are. Now, me, a little wiser, a little, douchier, let's put it that way, and Lucas Raymond, probably more confident, got that big old chest walking around now. He's big man on campus.
But I'm very excited. The team actually looks like excited to be out there. They look like they belong. They just dominated Columbus. That was a really fun game to watch. But I'm trying to kind of just curb my enthusiasm just a little bit. Because if we look at the standings right now, man.
Yeah.
The Red Wings are number 5 in the East. Wow, look at that. And just, you know, in case you were wondering, is this a small sample size? Number 2 in the East, Buffalo.
Woo!
My God. And they're both doing pretty well for, like, goals for and goals against. Red Wings currently sitting at 3rd in the East with 13 goals for, and Buffalo with 12 already. And they've only given up their 4 goals through 3 games for the Sabres. That's pretty amazing stuff. So I'm very excited. I'm very positive about the Red Wings, but I'm trying to realize that as exciting as these games were, as exciting as this homestand has been, I mean, we're in a world right now where Buffalo is number 2 in the league. So I'll just, you know, we gotta, you know, have a little awareness that this, you know, we might need a few extra games to kind of figure out how the conference is gonna pan out. But my God, are they fun to watch?
Yeah, I it's funny because I put the argument together in the last preview where I said, Columbus had beaten, I think Arizona and then Seattle, who I predicted at the beginning of the season would kind of bring us back to like how expansion teams are supposed to look. And so far that's been coming true as well. So to say that, you know, they were off to a hot start with a couple of victories, you know, I would say those are two things I would have said from the beginning of the season would be easy victories for Columbus. And then I said, now they're coming into this, you know, the red hot Red Wings playing at home. It looks like they're going to be extra feisty, and all they can talk about in those post game press conferences is how much the fans are juicing them up and getting them excited, getting them ready to go. Lucas Raymond just gushing about how great it is to score and have the fans behind them. I'll be honest. I know we're supposed to be sitting in the standings. I know where we've been the last couple of years, but is there a bit of you, Mike, that feels a little like ashamed, maybe embarrassed that Lucas Raymond scores that goal and he looks out into the stands and there's all those empty seats? I feel a little like, oh man, we should just get season tickets so that Lucas thinks, you know, there's people actually here to support the team. I don't know. I get self-conscious about a lot of things, and most of the time there's no right to me getting self-conscious, and that's one I'm going to add to the list. Is every time he's out there, I'm like, oh god, there's nobody there. Lucas is going to hate it here.
yeah, before we worry about Lucas leaving as a unrestricted free agent, we have a few years of club control for that. And I mean, the Red Wings have earned that kind of attendance. It's been 2016 since we were, you know, something on and recording on your DVR. And I think this year is finally the difference, because it's not just that it's competitive hockey, Matt. It's like last year when we were in games, it still felt like we were playing a fraudulent style where we were just trying to limit opportunities for both teams. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like we actually have, you know, an advantage talent wise against other teams in the NHL. And so we're being more aggressive. We're on the attack more. We're playing with a lot of confidence. We're playing with a lot of speed. And it's such an upgrade for a viewing experience compared to the last couple seasons. So this is a really almost perfect start outside of that Tampa Bay game. Like, you know, you didn't end up getting the 2 points, but
wow. Yeah, you got to look at, you know, I think Bertuzzi's shooting like 60% right now. So that's going to go away. And, you know, where's the scoring going to come from once Bertuzzi's number drops below 50% shooting percentage? So it's one of those things where I think we've definitely had quite a bit of puck luck on our side. But, you know, with that being said, it is pretty clear, I think, that we're trying, you know, those third periods, those first two games were pretty ugly. But to kind of sum up, you know, what we saw over three games, I think there's been maybe a release of the leash, or maybe we've got a little bit more leeway on the leash now offensively. So I would say, from just, you know, we're playing the eyeball test here. This is a team that is going to give it a go. Like they're if they have that ability, push the puck and get your chances, get your shots on net. This isn't going to be about limiting chances either way. And I mean, that's one of the things we kind of led the show with, Mike, is that going back to 2007-2008 season is as far back as I can go with Natural Stat Trick. And I tweeted about this earlier, and maybe I can pull that up. But basically, what we're looking at here is the chances and shots that are thrown at the net are always graded when you're looking at the expected goals formula. So they're given this grade of, you know, the best chance to actually go in the net. And the higher that number is, I guess the more likelihood that it would actually be a goal. So if it's not very high, it still gets some marks on the expected goals category. But that's where you kind of look at like a line performing. And if they have a 1.00 expected goals for a line, they should probably have a goal in the box scores. Is kind of how you can paint that picture and take a quick look at it. So I do have this pulled up here just to kind of show everybody. As soon as I hit the share button. Jeez, oh Pete. There it goes. So number one is the 5.75 expected goals for, which we totaled last night. Now, as was pointed out by a few people, what we have to remember is that empty net goals count for this too.
Oh.
And we got two juicy ones. That's still, even with that point, we know we've scored multiple empty net goals in games going back to 2007, 2008. So I just want everybody to pump the brakes a little bit on that pushback, because we're still talking about this is the highest expected goals for a game we've had. And that includes a team with Marian Hossa, Pavel Datsyuk, and Henrik Zetterberg, and Niklas Lidström. So this isn't to say this team is better than that. This is more evidence that we're giving a little bit more leeway on the leash. There's the reins, or at least, you know, maybe one hand by Jeffy. Maybe that strategy last year of limiting chances from either side and hoping that the third period goes your way. Maybe we're pulling away from that. There's the evidence. But of course, Mike, as you pointed out, it does make for very fun hockey as well. And I do apologize. Just realized I had the comments closed and I haven't seen a goddamn thing. Mike, we got 7 comments up. I missed all of them. All right.
Yeah, get them out there quick.
We got Fethdar, we got Tristan, Matthew, good to see you here. That'll get confusing since we're both Mets. All right, I want to start. This one's titled Hot Take. Fethdar, I haven't even read it yet, but it's called Hot Take.
Fethdar, it's my dude. Now I'm going to take this one. This is my dude. Hot Take. Now's the time to move Bert. Amen, Fethdar, if we're going to. His stock is high. He's sizzling. It's a hot start, but that Vax issue looms above. See, Fethdar, Matt, you know too, that GMs, you know, they have really, you know, really selective memories. And right now, if we can, you know, get a little positivity behind that Bertuzzi name, we know that he's going to get boo-boos again. He's still not vaccinated. We've got the resume with us. But what we're going to tell him is that this guy gets 5 goals every 3 games. You are going to be loving this. Your top line is going to be electric. Think of that.
For that argument, if he was going to get traded, I would at least say, look, if you're worried about the injuries from last year, clearly my man has got it going on. So if that's the game, I think that's how Steve starts the conversation. If there's anybody worried about those issues before, maybe they want to see a little bit more out of Bert. Maybe it was like a preseason conversation. They want to see a little bit more. I think this is more than enough. Right.
We're seeing peak Bert right now. Peak Bert has you in 5th place in the Eastern Conference.
And we are going to have everybody's love for Bert will be tested this weekend too, because we'll get into the games. Because I had a conversation with somebody earlier today where it just kind of felt like, when Bert scores, I kind of just don't care. And then at the same time, I get more mad because it's just going to...
That's your GM brain talking, Matt, where you're like, oh, wow, look, I don't even care. He scored a goal. What a move.
Yeah, and I don't want to rag on him too much, because that's when the thumbs down bullies come and
I'm just saying, help rank you know our YouTube come. Channel. Matt, it's on the schedule. We know we're going to be in trouble now. That's, you know, we scored 13 goals this year. 2s is 5 of them. And he's throwing a couple empty netters, and then I don't know who's on the first line taking Bertuzzi's spot. Just 5-on-5 play. Who's taking his spot on the power play? You gonna?
Fabry or Zadina? They've been okay.
I don't think you're doing cartwheels over.
That's a significant
talent drop off, Matt.
I would like to find out the ratio of people who are okay with Bert missing games in Canada. And how many of those people are angry when Blashill does his Blashill blender, and see what the, because now it's forced. Now Blashill's done a great. Oh my God.
Yeah, man, we lost you for a moment there. It sounded like you were making some point about Blashill kind of playing around with the lines, but Matt, I think myself, the people commenting on this show, I think they realize that one constant, one move that even our beloved Jeff, who loves to toilet bowl the lineups and just kind of mix and match and, you know, try different candies together in one bite, there's no way that Bertuzzi is moving off of that first line. And I think we're all kidding ourselves if we think that there's somebody who's going to step up and be ready, you know, to be in that spot. I mean, you're still going to be holding on to Larkin. You're going to be looking at Lucas. But that third spot, whew, prospects are a little bleak right now. So this is a really exciting start, as we know. But it is super-duper Bertuzzi heavy. I don't know. If even our beloved Blashill, if he's going to be the one to muck around with that too much. But, man,
hey.
I think I was saying your point for you. Just it's not like you're getting at our boy Blash, stirring up the pot a little bit. But there's only one steak in the soup, and that's Bertuzzi right now. I don't think taking the steak out and adding a little more green onion is really going to make a winning recipe.
Well, yeah, I guess all I wanted to do is just kind of give Blashill props at the start here, because he's keeping everybody together like we've always wanted, and everything looks...
Well, it's easy when you're winning, right?
Yeah, everything looks pretty good right now, and I would just say one of the things we've been saying since the show started for the last couple of seasons was that the blender exists because of issues with talent. So now we have a forced issue with talent coming up this weekend. And then, we'll probably see that again, is my guess. I think, you're probably, I'm going to guess that because that the Suter Zadina line has been doing so great that they do want to keep that together would be my first guess. I wonder if they're going to play the game like they did last year, like when there were so many injuries piling up where, we saw Jovani Smith and Adam Ernie getting shots on the first line. I wonder if that's going to happen just to keep the second line intact. But, we already saw that not be the case, I guess, when Larkin was going down. But, we'll see what happens. We'll, I guess we'll cross those waters when we come to them.
Much longer, man. Montreal is right on the horizon.
Ultimately, just wanted to throw a joke out there. And then, of course, I bumped into my piece of shit camera, and everything went to hell.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about it last year. We kind of mentioned it at the start of the season. When the Red Wings are 100% healthy, there's nothing wrong. Home games, they're going to win half of them. And right now, you know, we're doing home games. We have our full complement of our top six players. It looks pretty good. But I'm a little nervous. And, Matt, we're going to... I don't even know if this is a real test because Montreal is really playing like crap right now. But we are going to get our first taste of what a Red Wing team playing on the road in Canada looks like.
Yeah, I think we can get into that in a little bit because there's still a couple of things I think we want to celebrate with that Blue Jackets game, including I don't know if we do want to get into the beautiful sauce that Lucas was throwing around, Mike. I thought that might be kind of fun for us to, everybody's seen it, right? I don't know, but I have it pulled up. So we're going to celebrate.
We can relive it. It's his first couple points. It's fun.
I mean, he's got 3 points now in three games. So, but this is our boy here. I think I'm pretty sure Larkin has the puck right now as we hit play. And now it's going over to Lucas, and that was the nasty sauce over to Larkin. Larkin to Bertuzzi, and he just adds to that 60% shooting percentage. Whew. But yeah, I don't know. Blashill was saying it last night. Those were two fantastic plays, but then Blashill changed the conversation too to coming back to how Lucas is playing every minute, where he's actually looking good on both sides of the rink. I believe right now he is in our top three players for expected goals for percentage. So, of course, that means he's bringing more chances to the ice than he's allowing him and his line mates. So we cue this up again to see that nasty sauce. I can't get over the high skill play that we got against Columbus. I'm sorry?
Is that a thing you say now? What is nasty sauce?
Saucing is that pass.
You mean the saucer pass?
Yes. It's actually, that's like one of my toughest trophies to get in NHL 22. You have to manually sauce for a goal, and I'm just not good at passing, so that one takes a while.
Does the new game, you remember that game Fable on Xbox, where you could press a button and talk with people, and there's a button to fart on people?
Yeah.
Does the 22 game have a chirp button yet?
A chirp button? Like, I'm going to talk to the person I'm playing online? Or you
no.
mean, like, the players on the ice are fake chirping at each other?
Yes, that's what I want.
No, that is not a thing.
I want to lean over the boards Bertuzzi style, or Lucas Raymond style, and say, what the fuck, stuff like that. Just mouth it, that's it.
Yeah, you guys can check out our Instagram, brothers_of_discussion. We've got some good gifts going there that you guys are going to have to screen grab of. It's Bertuzzi saying, fuck you. And then Luke is just coming out with the shut the fuck up. Like, it's such a good, like, the head tilt back and the neck is just so, like, little kid. I love seeing it. Shut the fuck up. Like, I just, brought a lot of joy to my heart.
Well, I want some more joy,
about,
man.
Can
we see Lucas's
camaraderie?
Goal? Do you have that goal queued up for us?
Yeah, didn't we already watch it? Did I fuck that up?
Yeah, you showed the assist.
No, just now I showed the assist. I showed the goal earlier. Here's a side angle from kind of behind the net a little bit. Here you go.
Here we go.
So, this is right before he gets the puck, but this is a quick one. I like this replay because you get to see Lucas do the "Are you not entertained?" Goal celebration, which I think should be adopted more often. I think that's a beauty, and that's where part of my anxiety comes into play with Lucas going like, "Oh, there's nobody in the stands. What am I doing here?"
Do you think that we figured out yet the perfect time for an NHL highlight? Because I'll say that sometimes
show,
if I'm watching
no.
it on Twitter. If I'm on Twitter, it's a little too fast. But if I'm on NHL.com, like, they'll show the player walking down the aisle, like, at the start of the period, sit on the bench for, like, 4 minutes until his line shift starts, get to take a face off, and then circle around, and then finally get the puck on a stick, and it goes in. And I forgot which highlight I was watching. I'm just saying I want a middle ground between a GIF and, you know, a 60-minute epic story about one goal. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been in NHL.com? Their highlights are really long.
So I think what they're doing is actually trying to finish the announcer's thought. So it actually is the problem that I've gotten into because I watch the NHL.com highlights so often. Mm-hmm. So when I'm putting together a video for, like, Instagram, let, like, the thing that I put on Instagram is done. We're gone. We're looking at fans now. We're watching guys skate. And I just, it's now what I learned to do. It's let Mickey Redmond finish his thought before you finish the video. Because it just feels weird to end it mid-thought. You know, like, Mickey's talking about what a great job Lucas is doing. And instead, you know, the difference would be, you see Lucas score his goal, and Mickey's like, wow, bingo, bang, and then cut it off. You don't get the bango. You just get bingo, bang, bingo, bang. And if you don't get that last O, it feels like it's not even real.
You think it's because hockey is all about, like, the eloquent story, you know, a la Doc, as opposed to, like, the NBA is just, like, Mike Brain just goes, bang, and then that's the end of the commentary on the highlight?
I mean, there's probably something to that because of how few and far between the goals are compared to a basketball game. So there's something to that, definitely. I just, you know, not everybody is as great as Doc Emrick, and, you know, now he's gone. So I know what you're saying, though, and it's probably something just like you got to get all that juice out of that one orange that you picked, you know, like You might have one goal for the entire period, so you got to milk that sucker. You got to get all you can.
Yeah.
I mean, those highlight reels could range. You could get 3 minutes to 9 minutes. So,
one time I was watching a highlight and I saw the Zamboni hit the ice. I'm like, this is a little long. It's a little long.
That one I can't tell if you're joking.
That one I was joking.
Okay, good.
But you couldn't tell, could you?
All right, so we've had a lot of comments. I can at least grab this one because it's at least relevant to what we're talking about, and we've gone in so many different directions. Tristan likes those long highlights. I gotta say, like I said, I've been now taught like that's how you watch a highlight. So I just, that's how I live it.
I just every goal is like a 30 for 30 on ESPN. But only on NHL.com. Like ESPN, when they do a hockey highlight.
Sports Center. You get
they just show the celebration.
Goals. Yeah.
Yeah. The entire NHL is summed up in 5 seconds.
Can somebody tell, does Sports Center still exist? Is that still a thing? Because I know.
Not the way we used to know it. No.
Right. Well, no, I know that. I just didn't know if it was one of those things where, like, you know, we mentioned SportsCenter and there's already people that are like, what is that? That's not a thing. SportsCenter doesn't exist. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for those long highlights. I think you got to get that full thought in there. I mean, they still do that in basketball, though. I'm now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to challenge you because I've watched basketball highlights where I've got to watch the same fucking jump shot in slow-mo from 5 different angles while somebody explains why the shot was so important. So it just gets, you know, it's when the moment is important in sports.
I think a breakdown of the same, like, 20-second play I would be okay with. But I feel like they show too much preamble and too much, like, aftermath for the goal.
Yeah, there's probably a need for more editing. So if Mickey Redmond's going to finish his thought, just
like sometimes the highlights will have like the previous line. The previous line is out there. So we haven't even seen the guy who's going to score. He's still sitting on the bench waiting for the line change.
You know,
then he comes out. Then he scores. Then he does a victory lap. And then he hits the bench. And then we watch him like take a drink of water.
This is why people tuned in, was to hear this conversation. But there's probably an issue, too, with how many different camera angles they have for those for a hockey game, you know, like you're limited. You got the glass, you got the net in the way. Things are going to be different. I mean, you can actually have a guy run onto the court at any time and get a good angle. I mean, they're actually on the court. You know, nobody can really get at the same angles the ice. So you're already cutting one. You cut
it's
one
a little
off
bit right like there. They're shooting highlights for like a WWE Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. But we're the only ones that apparently want that to go away. I think that was the last thing we tweeted out in regards to pro wrestling.
All right. I know I'm in the minority on this viewpoint, man. Yeah, let's move
on. I think it's time to move on. So, Lucas Raymond, good. Has anybody else been getting as excited?
Hot take.
What?
It's a hot take. Lucas Raymond, good.
Oh, right. I don't know if anybody else has been getting excited about Gustav Lindstrom. I've been talking about him ad nauseum the last few episodes and including the last preview. And I can't stop. And Mike, I actually got notice today from Gustav's father, who went through and liked every single one of our Twitter posts today because I was so high on him. And I kept tweeting out things that were like, look how good Gustav Lindstrom's analytics are. And then I see a guy named Lindstrom starts liking our stuff. And then I go through his Twitter profile and I go, hockey dad, Lindstrom. All right. He's actually from Sweden. Yep. This is Gustav's father. So if you're listening right now, I really appreciated that. I thought that kind of made my day.
Even if that's a burner account, God bless you. That wouldn't even make me upset if we found out it was a burner account for somebody else. Because the Goose, he's been rocking and rolling, man.
Yeah, Fethstar, he's with us. Lidstrom, he has looked pretty good. And it's so funny because we started the season and I was like, why isn't Stetcher rocking out on this third pairing? And it's because Lindstrom is playing not only so well on 5-on-5, Mike, but we could pull up some of these other stats. He's ranked first. Across the league. Oh, I'm sorry. He's ranked third across the league among all defensemen in the plus or minus expected goal differential per 60. So you're taking away his ice time out of that equation. You're just saying, all right, every defenseman, when they're on the ice, who has the biggest difference between the expected goals that they're getting and the expected goals they're allowing? And among all defensemen, he's number three right now. Now, you do the under 25. I kind of filtered some stuff out today. Gustav's in the top 15 for expected goals. If you want to take a look at expected goals against per 60, he's in the top 15.
Do you have a few of the other names up there for context?
Not off the top of my head. Nope.
Okay.
Mort Sider's in the top 15.
Well, it's legit.
25.
Right. Yeah, I'm good.
So I know where you're coming from with that, because I had a few people like tweet out, you know, haha, this person's also on the list. I get it. But for whoever that person was mentioning, Mike, for why you're asking that question, all you have to do is say, you know, like Gustav Lindstrom, me questioning, where's Troy Stetcher? That is just gone. That is off my radar, because we're seeing a guy who's taking the ice time he's getting and using it. And he's doing what we need him to do. So I'm not saying that this, I don't post that stuff. I don't talk about it right now to make the argument that he's Norris, you know, trophy candidate Gustav Lindstrom. I'm making the argument that he's doing what his role is, playing it to a T, and there's no reason to put anybody else in that role. Right? That's what you pull from that. And I think a lot of people on Twitter today misread where I was coming from. It made me, I was a little sore, a little angry about it. Probably the first time in a while on Red Wings Rant Twitter that I was maybe a little bitchy.
No, right. You know, he made a noticeable impact, you know, on 5-on-5 play, but also on the penalty kill.
Yes.
I look forward to his shifts, because it just looks so sound. It looks so confident. It looks like there's a plan. And it's out of our zone. And I don't feel like we're having those terrifying, you know, back and forth passes that, you know, just put you on the edge of your seat, because you think, my God, there goes, you know, a goal going in real easy. It just, Lindstrom he's playing incredible right now.
Yeah, and the last couple of games, he's been our top defenseman. It's just that first game. And when I say top defenseman, he's been our top defenseman from an expected goals against per 60. So on the penalty kill. And I take that stat specifically because who gives a fuck what your expected goals for is on the penalty kill? You're not trying to score. You're trying to prevent chances. So what he comes in with, you know, to think about how much experience he has and how many minutes he's already getting on the penalty kill. And like, that's why this guy is a roster spot, is that he's knocking it out of the park. And need I remind everybody, last year, again, I made the recommendation that Gustav would be on our penalty kill, because he actually walked away being the team leader last season. Of course, the minutes there, pretty small, but the expected goals against per 60 leader on the penalty kill last year. And it's more consistency from him. I think it's just something that we can be happy with. I don't think it's anything we need to talk about, you know, any Norris trophies or anything like that. And I don't think anybody thinks I'm really pulling that, but everybody has a role on this team, and some guys fuck it up, which ironically is his line mate or his D-pairing partner, Mark Stahl. But other guys play it to a T and they look fantastic. So it is kind of funny too that, you know, he's got to drag Mark Stahl around, and I wonder how much longer that's going to last, because I did play around with the question online. We actually got some YouTube comments and we talked about it. And I wonder what everybody else thinks while we got you guys here. Why is there, should we really be stuck on the whole left side, right side defenseman when left side defenseman is Mark Stahl and you've got some other options you could give a shot to? Is there something, because immediately, like, I got some people gave me the pushback of, well, it's technically called their wrong side. So that's why you don't put, you know, the right side defenseman on the, and you call it the wrong side because it's not where they're supposed to be. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we're going to be waiting. God, I almost knocked my camera off again. We're going to be waiting. Tristan's bringing up Edmondson. I just saw this out of the corner of my eye, but we're going to be waiting a year for maybe seeing a new left side defenseman in Edmondson coming over. But in the meantime, can we just try one of our right side defensemen over there? Or can we, you know, do we put Stetcher in there and move Lidstrom over? I just called him Lidstrom. Lindstrom. I just did the classic in the 90s when some old man would do the opposite for Nicky Boy. And I went across the league, and there's maybe 5% of mostly bottom pairing Ds. do that. They just put in, they just fill out the roster. Sometimes injuries have come into play. You know, maybe it's probably around 10%. Just why not? And I know Mark Stahl, he's got the A now on his chest. He's our alternate.
Is that the only thing that's keeping him from being scratched? Is they don't want to have the assistant captain get a healthy scratch?
I hope that's not the case.
I think we talked about it on the game we attended, right? Where he had a few plays against Tampa where I know he was using his big, large body to like get in the way and strategically place it. But as far as like playing defense and like keeping the kids off the skate park, he was just a cone. When you need a security guard with a flashlight who's really fast at chasing the bad kids out of the skate park, and I don't think the cone is going to make that much of an impact, man.
And Sean C., I like what he's bringing up here because I'm ragging on Mark Stahl, but we have two guys so far that are playing like shit. The other one, of course, right now. Sorry, Danny DeKaiser, but yeah, you're on that list too. And also sharing the burden, the same question of having an A on the chest. And is that going to be one of the things that forces these guys to stick around? And Soapdish pointing out, Franz was a healthy scratch every now and then. And I hope right now they're not making the case that they need their alternates out there. But hopefully that mention of Franz getting that healthy scratch, at least, you know, should bring some hope to the two of us that maybe one day. Because Splash made the comment. He said nothing is really keeping Stetcher from playing. He's not doing anything to hurt his chances. He said he's going to get playing time. It's just right now he likes the way the team looks. And I just don't want it to be one of these fucking things where Stetcher gets his ice time and who do we take out? It's Lindstrom. So that's, I guess, now that I'm putting it out in the world, I'm hoping somehow this comes back to Jeff and Steve. Social media, YouTube, Twitter, do your thing. but yeah, we're complaining a lot, but performance art does want us back. You know, let's get our head screwed back on here because Mo Sider looks like the second coming, especially that last game where he's laying guys out.
I just wish we could be a fly in the wall at Little Caesars because Mark Stahl has to be Winston Churchill because it's not his play that's keeping him on the ice, right? Where he's getting the assistant captain, it's whatever he's doing in the locker room. So I don't know, man. Is he the great orator of our time?
He doesn't sound excited when he's doing press conferences after the game. So
is he a long lost Kennedy we don't know about?
I did take a screenshot of him earlier today when Lucas and Bertuzzi were coming back. Actually, it was Lucas and Dylan Larkin were coming back to the bench after Lucas gets his first goal. And most of the guys are kind of just like, you know, speaking to who they're sitting next to. But Mark is in the background just smiling, just like staring at Lucas like he's happy for him. He knows the feeling kind of thing like that. That brought some warmth to my heart. That made me go, maybe he's not so bad. But, I mean, you know, that's not how we judge guys and put them on hockey teams. But that was a warm and fuzzy moment for Mark. I'll give him that.
All right. He serves some purpose. It's just not a hockey one.
So another name that we just kind of glossed over, but he's tied, at least as of last night, was tied for first with rookie scoring with Lucas Raymond, both putting up 3 points so far the first three games. So clearly we'll see 82 points on both of their names
without
by the
question.
End of the season. Absolutely.
Yeah, without question. Yeah.
If not more, because, right, they should only get better. No, it's more exciting being able to put up consistent numbers so far and also look really goddamn good on both sides of the ice, and quarterbacking the power play has been something that I would say he's had on and off shifts, but for the most part I think he's at least going 60-40 on having good power play shifts to maybe I wouldn't even call them bad. It's just not impressive. And then from a 5-on-5 perspective, my man, through all the stats we were throwing out for Lindstrom, Just think about Moritz Seider has the tougher assignments, and he's filling out the top 15 in those same statistical and those analytical categories. So it's a rookie here, Mike, getting the best of your opponent, getting the best line you can throw out there. And Moritz Seider is coming out with these 60 expected goals for percentage numbers, which are just insane. Insane for a rookie. Insane for a guy facing the opponent's top line. It's damn good. It's damn impressive. And that's one of those things where I think I heard it mentioned by Ryan Lambert, and he kind of scoffed at it, but he brought up the point, like, if Moritz Seider is going to win the Calder Trophy this year, it'll be the first time that voters decide not to just go who had the most points as a rookie. And they're going to look at the advanced analytics and go, oh my gosh, how does he do this with, you know, with who he has to play with and or play against as well. And at his age, and it just I'm trying to think, is stoicism, is that a word?
That just means playing without emotion.
So yeah, and that, like, that's how he carries himself out there, and I don't see anybody really getting the better of him. Like, he
well,
carries,
you know,
himself
he looks
like
to
a
me?
Machine.
I will say that he oftentimes, because he's 6'4", and he's only 20 years old, the way that he's I've seen him already face wash a few people who are established NHL players. He always has this kind of Andre the Giant, like, bemused expression on his face, like, oh, this is as bad as it's going to get for me. Huh. You know what I mean? And it's not very bad, because it's hard to hurt a giant man like that. And for him to be so skilled, I think it's almost like he's learning, you know, like in a classic sci-fi robot sense, you know, like, I could dominate everybody on the ice. And I think he's just going to keep getting more and more confident as his skills develop, because he already looks better than a large majority of the people he's on the ice with. And it's pretty fascinating, man, to watch a phenom just develop in front of our eyes.
And Tristan, the encyclopedia he is, Barrett Jackman had 17 points to win the Calder Trophy for simply being a shutdown D-man. And, I mean, we even sit here and we look at Mo Seider right now, and we know that he's going beyond the shutdown D-man, right? I mean, this guy that's going to – so far it looks like he should be – if this everything continues along the same path, should be putting up consistent, you know, production numbers as well. All right, Mike, why don't we – let me take care of a little bit of business here. Let's some
little
of that out of the way.
All right, let's try to get through this, man. NFL fans hungry for a big win this week. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. If they do, you win $200 of free bets. Winner, winner. Turkey dinner. Or pumpkin dinner. Oh, they said chicken dinner. Anyway, it's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed, and everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Put some money on the Rams. They're going to annihilate the Detroit Lions. Woo! I am betting the mortgage on this one. But, Matt, give us that sweet call to action.
How do you do that? You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code THPN. Just bet $5 on any NFL team, probably make it the Rams, to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, Mike, I'm a little disappointed that you made a timely reference, because I did want to cut this, because we actually get to use this that ad for a while. So now we got to do a new one every week. Just wanted to cut it, insert it. We'd be good. But no, brought up the Rams and the Lions. So now that only works.
Well, I just meant generally speaking. In a coming week, the Rams will be crushing the Lions. Yeah.
All right. What do we have, Mike? We've got a celebratory first half of the show, second half of the show. Mike, are we going to be 5-0-1 come Monday morning? So, We've got a Calgary Flames team that is testing out as a pretty good 5-on-5 team. They are in the top five in the league, testing out for both shots on net, or I should say attempts, and expected goals. It's just things haven't been going their way in the win-loss column, as every team that we're facing this weekend, Mike, Calgary, Montreal, and Chicago, have combined for 2 points in the standings. That's a damning statistic, Mike. Let's
remember Calgary's only, what, they played one game, two games?
Right. You've got the 0-4 Montreal Canadiens. Let me pull this up. And I think is it 0-1-1 for Calgary? Oh boy. Good old NHL.com moving at a snail's pace for me. And then Chicago, 0-3-1.
I don't know, man. How do you feel about Daryl Sutter?
Well, people are saying, and I'm stealing this from Ken Daniels, is that he makes his return over to Calgary and they're playing his style of hockey. And I just, the big complaint was we got away from that style of hockey 15 years ago. So what are we doing? it's just one of those things. So far, it's not working for him, right? I mean,
he did win cups, right, with the Kings.
I'm not going to comment on that because I can never remember a coach's record.
Okay. I'm pulling it up right now. I'm seeing a couple Stanley Cup champions with the LA Kings in, what, 13, 14, 11, 12 seasons?
So you're looking at it. You tell me.
All right. Well, one time I got screwed on this, and I always got to ask it out loud, too. So I don't know, Matt. Of those three games that you want to tease me with, and are we going to put money on these bad boys? Calgary, Montreal, and Chicago? Calgary is the one I would least want to put money on. I got to be honest. I would rather put money on the Chicago game. Montreal, I want to see what a Red Wing team on the road in Canada, what that looks like.
Yeah, that one, I'm kind of scared again to bring up. For the trigger happy fingers that want to hit the thumbs down button, we're not ragging on him, but think about this. You have a guy in Tyler Bertuzzi that's putting up 60% shooting percentage right now, and now he's just out of the lineup because he didn't get his shots.
Listen, the last couple games, it's not just that he was the best Red Wing. There was a lot of the time where he looked like the best player on the ice. Like, he wasn't getting lucky, fluky goals bouncing off his face, Holmstrom style. They were high-skill plays. And now that guy's going to be gone.
A couple of them had some
I know there was some grinding goals, but there was some high-skill moves, man.
Right.
So I'm saying that's gone.
Yeah, he's at 62.5% right now. So you get to play the game, you just take that right off the board. What does it look like when a guy who's that hot, that shot percentage is that hot? What does it look like when you just grab it?
And what's he look like after a layoff?
And what does the team look like that's been practicing with the same lines for, before we even started the regular season, in the preseason, and now we've gone a couple of games? We had our set lines, and now that's all got to just be thrown right in the garbage in Montreal. I am so scared that we're going to give Montreal their first victory. I couldn't be more scared of that right now because, like we talked about it at the start of the season, this line was supposed to live and die with the performance of the first line, and that was when we had Verana slotted in there. Now we've got Lucas Raymond, who does a wonderful job subbing in for Verana, but you've still... This is still the line that you got to beat if you're the Red Wings opponent, and now it's going to be completely different. And that's the fairest way we can put it, and it fucking sucks. that blows to completely take. We brought up in the last couple of episodes the camaraderie that's being built, the chemistry with these lines, and now you just kind of go, well, all right, well this guy's taking an off night, so we'll see how this goes.
I mean, we saw what the Red Wings look like with injured Bertuzzi. It's not very good. So now you're going to have him just scratched because he's, you know, doing his own thing. So.
Yeah, and Silver3344 is jumping in here. I think Montreal might have actually been carried by Price. And that's something we brought up and why Montreal is, struggling so much with God, where's my bunch of, I had all my goalies lined up here. you've got both Montreal goaltenders right now are combining for one of the lowest totals in the league for goals saved above expected. So they're in the negative right now at about 3.5. So take that out. I mean, they're both at around 87% save percentage. If you put their, both their performances together, it's just not looking good from their goaltending perspective. And I always bring up the goals saved above expected, because I feel like that puts everybody on an even playing field. So if that number gets out of hand, if that goes too deep and in the negative, you've got to start. You stop looking at the defensemen and just kind of turn and look at the goaltenders.
Can I ask you one question, Matt? So we agree that we like how the Red Wing lineups are situated, and now we're going to pull out Bertuzzi. Would you promote somebody currently on the roster, or would you outsource and bring in a minor league guy to come in and helicopter in to be on that first line to keep the integrity of the lines in shape?
All right, so wait, what are we bringing in? Give Joe Valeno a shot on the wing?
Yeah. I mean, you get the field. Somebody not on the roster right now. Somebody in the minors.
The logistics of it don't really add up, right? For one game in Montreal, and then you got to go to Chicago, and then Tyler has already said he'll be waiting in Chicago for the team. Silver3344 throwing out Hirose. That's a great pick, too.
I like the Hirose idea just because that's about what I expect from him, is to just be there once in a while, you know? Where Valeno, we probably want him to have more, you know, consistency and not be going all over the place.
Yeah, I think regardless, I think everything is staying in Detroit. I think whatever they have for a roster, that's what they're going to stick with. I don't even know, what would be the rules of bringing somebody up? Do they need to? Are they still doing quarantining if they're going to Canada?
I don't know. Taxi cab buzzword. I haven't heard that this season.
Well, I just mean because we're not necessarily playing, you know, like they're not in the same situation. So they're coming from whatever Grand Rapids situation is and then being tossed into Detroit's. And then now you're going to fly over the border. And that's where everything gets all muddied, is the second you come over the border. So I don't know. But logistically, still, I feel like they'll probably end up going like seven defensemen, which would, I mean, you know, kind of sucks. But that is something we did a lot last year. And shoot, we were talking before. Jeff has been saying he's trying to get Stetcher and Osterley in there. And that feels like if he likes playing his 7D, he's forced to take out Bertuzzi. There's your solution. It's not anybody's favorite solution.
No, that is, kind of the white briefs. That's the white briefs.
There it is.
We really wanted a sexy thong, you know?
Soap dish right there. Performance art with the answer. If you're vaccinated, you don't need to quarantine. And so then that takes that off the table. I still logistically seems, you know, one game, then you're back. But I think the picks, Silver with Tara Hirose, and then Valeno just seems like he'd get the shot because he's tearing it up in Grand Rapids. And then that's the only name that Jeff Blashill has been bringing up as the guy who is absolutely getting that shot and probably needs a little bit more time on the main roster in Detroit compared to anybody else. Hirose, I think we all kind of made that agreement a couple of weeks ago that he's fine to come up for a game or two, but that guy's a Griffin. Hirose is a Griffin.
Yeah. I mean, Crash Davis, right? Lifelong minor league guy.
Oh shit. And Tristan's, he was already pissed about that 11-7. All right. Where were we? We do have okay. So there, we do have some muddied waters because of Bert coming out. We've got some goaltending struggles for all three teams we're facing this weekend. We also have between Montreal and Chicago. Actually, let me scroll up a little bit here. Sorry, everybody. Who's taking a dump on Montreal? Oh, it was Silver. All right. So, to Silver's point, Montreal and Chicago are the bottom feeders right now from a chance and possession perspective. And it's something that when I was looking at Columbus, that was what I pointed to for us to at least not have a complete shitstorm in the third period. And we didn't have a shitstorm in the third period. So if we can take anything from the success in the Columbus game and from the strategies of whatever's going on, if it's just failing from a talent perspective or if they are trying to limit chances, the Red Wings, who are letting loose a little bit, we're able to take advantage of that against Columbus. So with Montreal and Chicago still struggling from that chance and perspective, possession perspective, I think full roster, no problem. Two wins on Saturday and Sunday. I'll just say there's still just the wild card that's got to be mixed in there. But Chicago, I think this is something where the Red Wings feel really good right now. I think there's blood in the water. And I think what sucks is we were in the same exact situation at the start of the 2021 season. And then we got absolutely lunched by Chicago after like two back-to-back games against Carolina.
Was that the Puse game?
Was that Puse's first goal? That sounds about right. Because that was like 7-1 or something. So Puse had to get in there a couple of times. He had the hat trick. That's why it's the Puse game. That's what happened with Chicago after we were all feeling hot, and it was pretty early on in the season. So I say, if we're going to win one of these games over the next 4 days, it's going to be the Chicago one. But I'll say this. This team is going above and beyond just looking good. They are, like, falling in love with each other out there. I'm so in love with this team right now. But they're ready to kill for each other. Yeah. Bertuzzi is doing sling blades behind guys who are taking out Lucas Raymond. Bertuzzi's actually guilty of doing that a couple of times. He does not give a shit. If you touch Larkin or Lucas Raymond, he's grabbing you from behind and using his body and weight to pull you, to try and rip your neck straight off your shoulders. It's beautiful. It's true. I love it. From that perspective, I think, these guys are going above and beyond of just playing good hockey. Like they're playing for each other. And I like our chances in all three of these games.
I'm just, I'm going to say I could very easily see a world in which we lose all three of these games.
Yeah.
We always have kind of rough luck against Calgary, it feels like.
We could go
Montreal, our first non-Bertuzzi game, and then Chicago, we know what kind of damage they could do to our spirits, like they did last year. I'm just fascinated to see what the not necessarily the Blashill line combos that he puts together, but like the overall game strategy. As so many of our folks here are saying, if they just go 11-7. Are we really just going to go back to something similar to last year where we just try to limit chances knowing that we're a little shorthanded and just kind of cross our fingers in a close game? Or do they still keep playing that aggressive style that we've seen through the first couple games of the season? I would be very surprised if they were still aggressive, and I would be glued to the TV if they were. I'm expecting them to try and, keep it close while they get this figured out.
Yeah, I mean, anything too that we start to drop off shot percentage wise, like this could look really ugly because, like you pointed out earlier, if Bert's got half the goals, this isn't about Bert not playing in Montreal. If Bert doesn't score a goal, who else is putting him in? And we're not just going to look at Lucas Raymond and go, all right, it's the third period. Let's go. Put one back there. Let's go.
Hey, easy peasy. We'll use the Mets to cup. Well, they're probably going to have a goalie. So,
Ernie. Oh, fuck. Yeah, it's one of those things for me that we haven't even mentioned yet. What's going to be the split for Grice right now? Who, going back now 15 games, I think, going back to last season, he's under 2 for goals against, and he's above 950 for his save percentage, and then his goals save above expected right now leads the league. So you want to point to a guy who's taking what's being thrown at him and just spitting it right back. It's Grice. So if the split, they're going to have to split. And Jared Shaw brought this up too, to make sure, you know, we don't forget that Saturday and Sunday is back to back. So that could affect us in Chicago. But I would say at that point, if I'm looking at some issues with getting the boys going on Sunday, I'm doing Grice in Chicago, Nedeljkovic in Montreal, and you know what, I'm doing Grice. You know, if you guys are listening to the podcast, I'm doing him tonight, and of course you know this game is tomorrow as we record live, but I'm doing Grice again. Like I don't know how you pull away from a hot hand with the way Grice is playing right now, so you just keep riding that, and then Nedeljkovic can wait, and by the end of the season Matt can go back to his hot take prediction card and cross one off the list, which would be Thomas Grice ending the season with a 60-40 split of games played.
I'm not.
That's really what I want here. I just want to cross one.
I love the hot man. I love the hot hand. All right, I'm not going to go against Grice. But on this show, we talked about putting in, jokingly, of course, MVP votes for John Bernier. So I think we're going to be fine goaltending wise. I think we're going to be fine defense. Defenseman wise.
As long as it's
just who's going to score
in the third period. Yeah.
Who's going to score? So hopefully we get a couple.
All right. Where do we go from here? We've got our previews done. I really enjoyed everybody in the chat. This was great. We had so many comments today. I think we only got to like 10% of them. So I do apologize. That's what happens. Damn it. There's too many of you guys. I hope you guys are having fun chatting it up, too. I see there's stuff going on that we're not even talking about. So, welcome to the Red Wings Rant community, right? So we've got an interview this Friday, and hopefully I'll be posting that for the upcoming Monday show. And that Friday interview, of course, will have nothing to do with the two games going on Saturday and Sunday. So hopefully we'll be able to go live Sunday night. We'll give you guys a taste of the interview. We'll post the full interview on the podcast, but Sunday night, why don't we wrap up? I'll be here, Mike. It's usually tough. I don't know if you'll be here, but Sunday night, you know, let's wrap up what happened over the weekend. Maybe we'll be crying. Maybe we'll be happy, but yeah.
Maybe.
All right. Quick shout out. Performance Art's going to make me cry. He's been here since we had 100 subscribers. We're at 512 now. If anybody's just here for a taste, please hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to the podcast right now, please head on over to Apple Podcasts, give us the subscribe, rate, and review. That's going to do us the most good. We've gotten our most reviews this last couple of months, so I appreciate everybody that's been going in there and helping us out, because we're moving up the chartable list. We surpassed the Grindline podcast. So, it's Wing Wheel podcast and Red Wings Rant. That's right.
Oh, it hurts and you fight.
No, they're good guys. They showed me where to get a hockey jersey. We've at least been doing this. So we're a WCW.
And now we can do this.
We're WCW right now, and they're still.
Hey, can we be AEW? Come on, here. I don't want to be WCW.
That's who we are right now. We just have to not Eric Bischoff this thing and keep booking ourselves to win. We've got to let somebody else win.
I want to put us in a motorcycle in the middle of the ring. That's what I want to do.
All right, everybody, say peace out. So let's get out of here. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And we'll see you guys this weekend.